Blog Talk Radio.
Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله
another weekly episode of Washington Speaks on Up From Slavery, hosted by the great-grandson of the Honorable Dr. Booker T. Washington, the famed African-American educator and visionary who founded the Tuskegee Normal and Industrial Institute in Alabama in 1881. To the Muslims in our listening audience, we greet you in our traditional greeting of peace in the Arabic language, Assalamu Alaikum. We also greet you with the greeting of Ramadan Kareem Mubarak, Ramadan Kareem Mubarak. A blessed Ramadan, a generously blessed Ramadan. I am Imam, meaning Islamic leader or minister, Marshal Musa Muslim Abui. I am also known as Marshal Washington Cabinus Abui. I am the oldest of the male descendants of the Honorable Booker T. Washington, and therefore I am the patriarch of the family of Booker T. Washington, who was allegedly assassinated by his enemies in 1915 at the young age of 56 or 57 years old. Booker T. Washington was known as the Black Moses of his time, He left an enduring legacy in the form of the Tuskegee Institute, which he founded in Alabama in July of 1881. Dear listening audience, we begin with Allah's name, our merciful benefactor, our merciful redeemer. In Arabic, we say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Again, we greet all of you, our listening audience, with the greetings of peace be on you. We thank Brother Murad Muhammad and New Africa Excellence Enterprise, LLC, for their generosity in sponsoring this one-hour broadcast of Washington Speaks on Upfront Slavery, which is also listed in the archives of blogtalkradio.com under the title of Murad Speaks or New Africa Excellence Enterprise. Our topic for this evening's talk is babbling and playing with vanities. The one God, the creator and sustainer of all things, seen and unseen, whose proper and personal name in the Arabic language is pronounced Allah, speaks to us in the book known as the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran was revealed by God through the angel Jibril or Gabriel to the prophet named Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Muhammad the son of Abdullah, in Arabia over 14 centuries ago. In the 43rd chapter or surah of the Holy Quran, named Al-Zukhruf, meaning the gold ornaments, Allah, God, says to humanity, quote, we have with certainty brought the truth to you, but most of you hate the truth, unquote. And God continues, quote, say to the people, Muhammad, quote, if Allah, God, did have a son, I would be the first to worship that son. But glory be to the master of the heavens and the earth, the master of the throne of power. But leave them to babble and amuse themselves with their vain talk until they meet the day of theirs, which they have been promised. It is He, Allah, who is God, in the heavens and on earth, and He is full of wisdom and knowledge. And blessed is He to whom belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth and all between them. With Him is the knowledge of the hour of judgment, and you all are going to return to Him. And those whom they pray to besides Allah, the creator and the sustainer of all things seen and unseen, they have no power to speak on their behalf or to redeem them. Only He who bears witness to the truth, and they know who He is. If you were to ask them who created them, they would certainly say it was God, and Allah is God's proper name in the Arabic language. How then have you been deluded away from the truth? My dear listeners, in the book of 1 Kings, in the Bible, the wise prophet King Solomon prayed, asking that God would condemn the wicked people and give justice to the righteous people and give to them according to their righteousness. And Solomon spoke to his people, saying, quote, the Lord our God be with us as He was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he, God, may incline our hearts unto him, our God, whose proper name in Arabic is Allah, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his laws, which he also commanded that our fathers keep, and that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord, the one God, the creator and sustainer of all things, is God, and that there is no one else. Let your heart, therefore, be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his laws and to keep his commandments, unquote. And now, my dear listeners, we have God himself here. We have God himself telling the people to worship only him, and that he alone is the king of the heavens and the earth and all that is in between them, all that is between them, between the heavens and the earth, and that he has no son. He has no son, S-O-N, and no one can redeem his servants on his behalf, but that most people hate to hear this truth. Most people here in America hate to hear this truth. And they would prefer to persist in being led away from the truth and to babble in their vain, meaning their useless preaching, that Almighty God has a son. Now, if you have been following my program, Booker T. Washington Speaks On Up From Slavery, Washington Speaks On Up From Slavery, on this station, on Blog Talk Radio, Mariah Speaks. If you've been following it for the last year and a half that we've been broadcasting every Friday evening at 7 o'clock Eastern Time until 8 o'clock Eastern Time, then you will recall that I announced at the very beginning, from the outset of my talks here, that I am seeking to lift the African American people, those people here in America who are the descendants of African people, who are the descendants of people whose ancestors were enslaved in chattel slavery here in the United States of America, up from the devastating. I am here to seeking to lift up these people, our people, up from the devastating effects of 2.5 centuries of chattel slavery and the devastating effects of an additional century of pseudo-slavery under black codes and Jim Crow laws, particularly in the southern part of this nation. Whereas my leader and teacher, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, focused his attention on putting the blame for our ills on the European, Caucasian, or white people of America and Europe, I support the position of his son, the Honorable Imam W. Dean Muhammad, who said that we must understand that for the most part, conditions for African Americans have changed greatly since his father's time, and that we must adapt our language and our approach to the current situation concerning our people. To the current situation concerning our people. Consequently, I have chosen to emulate my great-grandfather, Booker T. Washington, in his approach to uplifting our people up from slavery, the slavery that still persists, the residual effects of slavery. So even if Booker T. Washington believed that some European American Caucasian people were quote-unquote devils, and we're not talking about that church picture of that weird-looking creature, part human, part animal, with goat's legs and goat's hoofs and a tail, a serpent-looking tail with a arrow at the end, with long fingernails on what looks like claws, with sometimes pictured with hair on his body, sometimes not, but always red or black, with a sharp nose, pointed chin and pointed nose, red eyes, a slick head, bald head, with bat wings, big bat wings, skin covered bat wings and bat ears, holding a farmer's pitchfork that's used to pitch or carry or throw hay on the farm. That's not who we are talking about at all when we use the word devil. And Honorable Elijah Muhammad wasn't talking about that creature. But he was talking about a person whose character was very, 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 very evil. A human being whose characterization in history was very evil. So even if Booker T. Washington believed that some European American Caucasian people were devils, meaning very evil people, and anybody can be a devil, regardless of the color of his or her skin. If you want to be evil, you're a devil, according to this definition. So I am sure that if Booker T. Washington did believe that some European American Caucasian people were devils, I am sure that he probably felt that way about the African Americans who allegedly poisoned him to death in late 1915, that these Negroes were surely devils also. And I am sure that he felt that his white Caucasian benefactors, General Samuel Chapman Armstrong and Miss Mary Mackey and Miss Natalie Lord, who were the founder and teachers at the Hampton Institute for Negroes back in the 1800s when Booker T. Washington attended school there, and who helped Booker T. Washington acquire the training that prepared him to establish the Tuskegee Institute, were as close to saints as anyone that he knew could get. Was close to saints. And these were Caucasian people. And I'm sure that he believed that these people were as close to saints. On the whole opposite end of being devils is anyone that he knew could get. And it is without question that he believed that God Almighty sent Mrs. Viola Ruffner, the very religious Northern school teacher who became one of his first mentors and employers, into his young life at the age of around 12, 13, or 14 years old, to encourage him to become a scholar. This very religious Northern school teacher, who became one of Booker T. Washington's first mentors and employers. It is without question that he believed that God sent this lady into his young life, this white lady, to encourage him to become a scholar. In fact, he declared that this white lady was one of the best friends that he ever had. So, although we know that the European, Caucasian, American people have behaved badly as a collective body towards African Americans, we cannot lump them all together and say that they are all grafted devils. We just cannot do that. This Hollywood language, I quote, Hollywood language, was used for effect by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And it did have its intended result. It made hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions, of the descendants of black African former captives of white Europeans begin to lose our delusion that these white Europeans were a divine race that had a special kinship to God, Almighty God, the Creator, had a special kinship to God that had been denied to us just because our color was black or brown, and our hair was kinky, and our buttocks were high, and our feet and noses were broad. By us no longer worshiping these people who were alien to us in many ways, we were free to turn our attention to regaining the self-respect and self-esteem that our former slave masters had robbed from us. Unfortunately, however, sinister forces from without our African American community, in collaboration with evil forces within our communities, worked to begin in the 1960s and 1970s. And continuing up to the present time to re-enslave us for mostly economic reasons with vices or what may be called the seven deadly sins. These vices or these deadly sins are lust, greed, gluttony, or overeating, another word for gluttony, pride or arrogance, laziness, anger, and envy. When these weaknesses are coupled with self-delusion and wrong thinking and loving weak ideas or morally weakening ideas, then we have a community life. We have a black community life, an African American community life that is self-destructive. That is self-destructive. So we must be mindful that everyone, black or white, everyone, black or white, is prone to become an agent of the devil type of thinking and behaving. Everyone, black and white, is prone to become an agent of the devil type of thinking and behaving. Therefore, if African Americans or anyone else, for that matter, wants to enjoy happy, peaceful, and productive lives, we must separate from the devil. Not physically separate from the European Caucasian, because they are created for the same purpose that we are, to serve and glorify Allah, our common creator. But we must separate from that which the Europeans gave us as a religion, and what they have been giving us, as a culture for the past 400 years. And we must return to the religion and the culture that our common creator, Allah, designed for all humanity. To make us pleasing to Him. To make us pleasing to Him. The religion and culture that our common creator, whose proper name is Allah in the Arabic language, that He, Allah, designed for all humanity, black, white, red, yellow, brown, tan, that Allah designed for all humanity to make us pleasing to Him and to make us happy. To make us happy, regardless of what the color of our skin is, in this life and in the life to come. My dear listeners, God tells humanity, quote, I have perfected for you your religion. I have perfected for you your natural, God-given, natural character. I have perfected it for you. And I have completed my favor on you. This day I have perfected for you your religion, and I have completed my favor on you. And I have chosen for you al-Islam, meaning complete obedience to God, your Creator, as a religion, as a
practice love, the love of the Ummah and the love for each other. Rabbana Tina Fidunya, Hasna Tama Fil Akarati, Hasna Tama Kina Dabana. For saying in Jamaat is the Fajr prayer. So try to come to the Masjid as much as you can. Unfortunately, and it is unfortunate, and hopefully we'll change this in the future, because we used to have Salat al-Fajr every morning every morning. And I hope that we can resume that, inshallah, because we need to try to exert ourselves to come to the masjid in the morning before we start the rest of our activities, if we can do that. Because if we do, Allah will strengthen us as an ummah, and He will strengthen us individually as believers in al-Islam. He's already promised us that we'll get more blessing if we come to the Fajr prayer in Jamaat than any other time when we pray. So we should not deny ourselves that opportunity. So inshallah, soon we'll hopefully be able to resume having the masjid open every morning for the Salat al-Fajr. But in the meantime, we will have it open tomorrow. So if you can come out, inshallah, please come out. We're going to close now with our traditional salute, our traditional dua for our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Ali Muhammad, kama salita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim, innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala Ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim, innaka Hamidum Majid. And now we make a special dua for the Muslim, for the Mu'minun, and for the Muslim. Allahumma fi al Muslimina wa Muslimat wa Mu'minina wa Mu'minat. Alayhi minhum al amwat, innaka samiun mujibu da'wat. Almighty Allah, forgive the Muslim men and women, forgive the believing men and women, those who are alive and those who died, for you are indeed the one who listens and accepts all the supplications. And now we close with the traditional closing. Ibadillah, in Allah, yamru bil adli wal ihsan wal itai zil kubah. وان ينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. Meaning, servants of Allah, indeed Allah orders us to be just, to be righteous, and to excel in what we do, and to be generous, and to take care of our kinfolks and our relatives, and never do what is forbidden of all sins, never do what is the shameful and decent acts, for he should never do those things. Don't even approach those things. Don't let your eyes gaze into those things. Don't let your heart yearn for those things. Don't let your imagination dream up those things. And then it says, do not do those things which are displeasing to Allah and His Messenger. Those things that may be not completely haram, but they border on haram. They're not really acceptable. Those are the things that are forbidden in the sense that they lead us to do those things that are not righteous. And they're not appropriate, and they're not accepted by the Ummah of al-Islam. Stay away from all of that. And do not oppress anyone. He, the Almighty, advises you so that you can remember. Come, Salah.
Natural character. I've chosen al-Islam for you as a religion. My dear listeners, also, who is better in speech, God says, than one?
Lahu man yudlil falahadi lahu. Wa shahadu an la ilaha illallah. Wa shahadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Alhamdulillahi namaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. All praise is due to Allah. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and we beseech Him, meaning we beg Him for help. We go and we ask Him humbly for help. And we ask for His protection. We ask for His protection, and we seek safety in Allah from the weakness in our own nafs, in our own selves, the daif in our own nafs, and from the evil consequences of the things that we do. And whoever Allah guides, there is no one who can lead him astray. And who Allah finds deviating, who Allah finds in error, there's no one to guide him. And I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. Allah says to us in Al-Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون Oh believers, all you who believe, be conscious of your duty to Allah, be careful of your duty to Allah. Have taqwa for Allah with the care which is due to Him. And do not die unless you are submitting to Him. Do not die unless you are in the state of Al-Islam. Or some of the translators or interpreters say, do not die unless you are Muslims. But it's not enough just to be a declared Muslim, to wear the dress of the Muslim externally and have the heart of the hypocrites and munafiqun. You have to be a Muslim in your heart. If you die and you are not a Muslim in your heart, if you are not submitting to Allah in your heart, then your destiny is a Jahannam. Your destiny is the hellfire, the nar. So Allah reminds us that we should always keep our hearts in obedience and submission to Allah. Not just our outward look that we may show people to make them think that we believe in Allah, but how we really feel. If we really do not give our hearts over to Allah, the outward appearance is going to count for nothing. Because Allah says, do not die unless you have submitted yourself to Him. Not that you dress like those who submit to Him, but that you have submitted yourself to Him. And Allah also says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, taqullaha wa kulu qawlan sadidan yuslihkum a'malakum wa yaghfirlakum dhunubakum. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا Oh, you who believe, be careful of your duty to Allah. Be conscious of your duty to Allah. Have taqwa for Allah. And speak the right word. Speak the truth. Speak the right word. And Allah says that if we speak the truth, if we speak to our hearts and our minds, to our consciousness, truthfully about our character, about our state of Islam, or state of Iman, or state of Islam, if we are honest about it, Allah will put our deeds into the right state for us. And He would forgive us our shortcomings if we are honest about it. If we deceive ourselves and allow ourselves to convince ourselves that things that are not in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are okay for us to do, then that deceitfulness is going to keep us from getting our sins forgiven, because we won't repent from them. And Allah will not forgive us if we do not repent from our sins. And our hearts will not change so that we become pleasing to Allah. So we first of all have to speak the truth to our own souls and admit when we're wrong and ask Allah to forgive us and to make us to be righteous and to obey Him instead of deviating from His law. Then He will forgive us if we are sincere and we make the effort to correct ourselves. And whoever obeys Allah, not those who play with Allah, who try to pretend to Allah, who say they believe, but then the next thing you know, they're doing what Allah forbids, and who obeys the Rasul, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that one achieves the success. That's the only one that achieves the success, is the obedient one, obedient to Allah and His messenger. Dear Muslims, our topic for today, and I'm going to try to keep it short because I've asked our brother, Sheikh Abdul Rahim, who is going to be our imam for today, to give a katira or a talk after the khutbah. I believe we all can receive, I know, not believe, that we all can receive a lot of benefit from the lessons that he has prepared to present to us. So I'm going to try to keep this talk short because I want you to hear this. This is the khutbah. This is what you came for, because you're obligated by the Quran to come for this. And I'm going to make sure that you leave here with something very, very essential from the Quran and from the teaching of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that will justify you having come here, because Allah has commanded you to come here. But in addition to that, we all can be benefited when we have sheikhs and scholars among us that can raise us to a higher level. And I can be raised certainly to a higher level. So I want to hear our brother when he speaks. So I won't talk very long. And I'm looking at the clock too, and I know some of you may have to go back. I don't see anybody in uniform, so I still will keep that time in mind. Our topic today is protection from our vulnerabilities. Vulnerability means our weaknesses. Simply stated, I could have put weaknesses there and not said vulnerability, but I put vulnerability there because I want to explain something about that word. Vulnerability is like your soft spot. Vulnerability in an army camp is that spot where the guard is not awake. Vulnerability is that place where the armament is not working properly, so that when the attack happens from the enemy, they will not be in the defense because the guns won't shoot. A vulnerability could be something to where that the people don't have the staying power. They don't have the resistance. They don't have the kind of energy to keep them fighting even to the last man when they are attacked, because they don't have the spirit to fight until the last man is not standing anymore. Vulnerability within our own self is those things, those weaknesses, those shortcomings, or those soft spots in us that are easy to fall, that are easy to fall down on our iman and our good behavior as Muslims. And I give you this in the English interpretation, but in Surah Fatir, Allah says to us in the 8th ayah, and I give you the interpretation as I said, is he then to whom the evil of his conduct, the evil of his behavior, made alluring? Alluring means inviting or pleasing to him, something attractive to him, so that he looks upon it as being something good. Is that person equal to someone who is rightly guided? Is that person that is willing to take something that they should be avoiding, but they love it, they want to do it, and they fall victim to doing it? Is that person as good or equal to somebody who stays on the right path? That's what Allah asks us. Of course, we know the answer is obvious, no. But it says that Allah leads to stray who he wills. In other words, if an individual decides that they want to follow that alluring, inviting temptation from the Satan, Allah's going to let them go. If that's what they choose, he's going to let them go. If you want to jump in the fire, okay. You don't want me? You want that? Okay. Allah leads to stray whom he wills. So if you don't want Allah, Allah doesn't force us. Eventually, we're going to submit. Eventually, we're all going to submit. But Pharaoh submitted too late. Pharaoh submitted after being warned for a long time by Musa and Harun to submit himself, to obey Allah, to do what Allah commanded. And finally, when the waves came crashing over him, he said, La ilaha illallah. Quran said it was too late. We don't want to wait until we're forced, because we won't receive the blessing of the Jannah. We're going to go to hellfire because we rebel and we rebel and we rebel. And Allah wants us to come to him willingly. But he'll let us stray if that's what we want. But Allah says to us in this ayat, do not let your soul, and your soul, it doesn't just mean that spiritual element of yourself. It also means your appetites and your emotions, your desires, the things that you love, the things that you want, the things that you crave. Don't let your soul exert itself in vainly yearning after them, meaning those people that have rejected Allah and his messenger. You may see them having long cars, these long limousines. You may see them just in new clothing, fancy clothing. You may see them with the most beautiful women that you could see on the TV. You may see them in big, gigantic, beautiful, beautiful houses. But you see the things that they represent are not from Allah. They're not from the Quran and the Sunnah. And Allah says, do not let yourself be vainly. Vainly means it's not going to profit you anything, but don't let yourself uselessly be wanting to be part of that. Don't want that. Don't allow yourself to become so weak that you would rather have that than to have this. Even though we may not have, some of us may have bigger houses than others, but we may not have all of that that those people that are serving Shaitan have. But Allah says, don't let your heart go out to that. He says, because Allah knows well all that they do. He knows how miserable that they are inside, even though they have all these things, because only Allah can give you sakinah in your heart, peace in your soul. So they may have a show of wonderful, wonderful material things, but they also have a judgment on them that is a judgment of hellfire. So Allah is warning us, do not allow ourselves to become so weak and vulnerable to their invitation that we want that instead of this. Dear Muslims, we understand that we have many enemies. And I'm giving you a talk that was given many years ago by my Sheikh, Imam Wadifuddin Muhammad, and it's going to be short. We understand that these enemies are the agents of the Shaitan, our enemies. And we must get sophisticated enough in our alert mind, in our conscious mind, and in our thoughts to recognize our own weaknesses. We need to study ourselves. We need to look at ourselves inside and determine inside of us what our weaknesses are. Each one of us needs to do that. And not invite the enemies in on us by opening up ourselves to those weaknesses. Because the enemy is standing by using all types of methods today. There could be people that we are in the same offices, barracks, officers' quarters, or the same enlisted quarters, or the same hotel, or the same rooming house with that are spying on us for the enemy, just to report to the enemy what our weaknesses is, what kind of behavior we have. We don't know, but we can be assured that the enemy is working, trying to find us in a weak position so he can bring us down. We must defend ourselves morally against the most corrupt and evil elements in this country that are watching us all the time. And even though y'all are over here just for a period of time, this is not where you're going to probably remain for a very, very long time. But even while you're here, the enemy is watching you so he can report back something to your government that he found you doing that you know and they know that is against the law or it's not something that you should be doing. Don't think that just because you're over here for a short period of time, the enemy doesn't have spies even from your own country over here watching you. You're looking at me like, where does he get that from? I wouldn't say this if I didn't know it, brothers. I mean, we have cases right here in this masjid where people have been spied upon and word got back to their own country about things they were doing over here. So be careful. Because these enemies are working on us, the Muslims, to defeat our honorable advances. We're trying to make progress to reclaim the world for Allah. We don't want to see the world go down into the pit of fire, and we stand idly by in a cool spot watching the masses of people because many of them are ignorant. They don't know what we know about Allah and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we don't want to see these people that don't know. Now, if they've been told and we warned them and they want to go that way, then that's different. But there are millions and billions of people that don't have what we have. You may say they should have it because it's on the TV, it's on the internet. But what is the most prominent thing that you see on the TV and the internet in this country concerning Muslims? It's not the beautiful thing that Islam has done to the world, the education that it's brought to the world, the good culture that it's brought to the world, the wonderful dress of the women that is brought to the world, the wonderful dress of the men that is brought to the world, the style of behavior that we have, loving each other and caring for each other. That's not what you generally see projected in the media. It's negative things. So we can't say they know because what they're being taught, if we're not teaching them, is not something that's going to help them come close to their son. Chances are. So what I'm saying, brothers, is that we need to protect ourselves, first of all, so we can raise them, because this is what they'll do. They will find that you have a weakness. They will study your behavior when you're not even aware of it, and they will find that you have a weakness. They know where you go on the internet at night. Don't think they don't know. They know exactly every website you go to every time you go on the internet. Don't think that the NSA doesn't know where you're going. Are you on a military base too? Or you are taking advantage of the opportunity to connect to a military network? You don't think they know where you're going? And even the AT&T, which is one of the biggest communications companies in the United States, which many of you that live off post may be subscribing to them, it was just in the paper 2 days ago that they are one of the biggest spies helping the U.S. government to be able to trace where you're going on the internet. That's not just you. That's everybody. You're not going to escape. I'm telling you. You're going to be watched while you're in this country for sure. And the people that are looking for your weakness, they will find out what your weakness is. I'm just using the internet for one example. There's other things too. Those of you that may be inclined to go to bars and nightclubs, they've got people waiting at the door of the nightclub just checking off the names of the Muslims that come in there. They've got agents to see how many Muslims are falling from Islam coming in the nightclubs. They have a design to try to bring us down by embarrassing us because of the behavior that we may be doing that's satanic. They will find that you have a weakness and they will work on it. They will send a girl in on you. Oh, yeah, you go into one of these places, next thing you know, some pretty girls ask, where you from? Oh, that's nice. I like to go there. They give you some conversation. Next thing you know, you're sitting down there with them. And if the girl did not help them to bring you down, they'll send a woman in. They'll send somebody with a little more trick knowledge, a little more trickiness. And if the woman did not help them, they'll send a sissy in. You know what a sissy is. That's a man that's not wanting to be a man. They want to be a woman. They'll send, if they think you got some kind of weakness like that, they'll send that in on you. They're going to find your weakness if you let them. And if Allah does not protect you, and he's not going to protect you if you allow yourself to be yearning after what they have. And if the sister did not help them, they'll send a dog. They think you have some kind of, what they call in America, freaky type of tendencies. You like to do unusual kind of stuff. They'll send somebody in there that will invite you to do unusual kind of stuff. And there's a lot of people in this country nowadays that like to do a lot of real unusual stuff. Don't get tricked into that. Examine yourself and make sure that you don't have any tendency towards unusual stuff, because if you do, you need to come to the mosque and help get it fixed, because they'll find somebody that will feed you that. And if that doesn't help, they'll send a gorilla. They'll send somebody to really mess up your mind by putting a whole lot of strangeness in your thoughts. You'll be set up, but you won't be innocent. It's one thing not to be guilty and get set up, but it's another thing to be doing wrong stuff, and then they find you doing wrong stuff, and they fix it so you get set up. All of us need to be aware of that. There will be some evil element in the society who will see a weakness in you and feed that weakness. That's the work of the Shaitan. They will pretend to be your friend and be feeding that weakness in you, hoping that they would destroy you and make you fall to their low moral existence. Somebody may invite you over to their house. You say, you know, I respect your military officers, and I respect you as an officer, and we're going to have some of the officers from other countries over at my house. You may know some of them you may not know. Please come over, we're going to sit around and we're going to talk about different things about our life in the military. And you go over there and they say, have a drink of wine, Captain or Colonel or Major. And you're looking at everybody else, those that are not Muslims or those that are not good Muslims, and they're picking the wine up off the tray. And you feel ashamed because you are not going to have one. And you say, I just take a little tip, a little bit. Oh, no, no, they know in advance that that's their game for you, because their plan is before you leave there, they're going to have you so drunk you won't even be able to drive home, because they want you to get arrested by the police and your picture to be in the newspaper. That's what they set you up for. You may think they're your friend, but if they try to serve you wine and they know you're a Muslim, they're not your friend. They're your enemy. Or they may call you by your first name They may pat you on your back, but they know you're a Muslim and they know Muslims don't drink, and they offering you wine. That's not your friend. That's your enemy. He may help you out with your classwork, but he's not doing it to help you to succeed as a man, as a Muslim. He's helping you so he can get close to you, so he can set you up. Be careful. That's all I'm saying. Be careful. We have to be aware that we are being fought against all the time. There are people sneaking, conniving, and maneuvering just to bring us down. They, these satanic agents, would like to see us stay down and never get to establish our Islamic identity, our true Islamic character. So we have to be aware of that. And as we conclude this part, we just want to wrap this up by saying we have to work hard, dear brothers, to protect our own vulnerability, our own weakness. We all have weaknesses. The Holy Quran says we were created daif and we were created weak. God created us weak, but not to stay weak, not to feed that weakness, but to grow out of that weakness. And he said Adam, who was created weak, he sent him revelation. He sent him inspiration. He sent him why? So that he would become more aware and stronger so he could resist the Satan the next time. So we have to see our personal behavior, our private as well as our open behavior, as serious. And we have to stop desiring to be participants in the evil activities of the enemies of Allah. Oh yes, they're going to make it look very inviting, the things that they like to do. They have all kind of activities that they know will attract people. But they're not condoned by Allah and His Messenger. But they may appeal to some weakness we have. And they're going to present this to us and make it look like it's a wonderful world. Come on in this wonderful situation. And yet, we know that it can't be wonderful if Allah has not created it for us to use. But the thing about it is, if we are not very careful, we're going to feed our weakness and we're going to yearn for these things. So we have to be careful. We have to stop wanting that lifestyle that they have invited us to. And that's one of the big problems. I would say this from traveling through the Muslim world. And I travel extensively through the Muslim world. I see the Western enterprises infiltrating the Muslim world, not every country, but some countries, and setting up places that they say are for the enjoyment of the Western tourists. But yet, they set them up in the middle of the city where everybody can see them. I remember being in one Muslim country, and they had a swimming pool on the top of the building, and they had this gigantic sign as big as that wall over there with this picture of this half-naked woman diving into the water. So I was on my way to the masjid, and I just happened to be looking around, and I looked up, and I see this picture. Now, how is that supposed to affect the people that have to see it every day? Of course they're supposed to lower their gaze, but the weak ones probably are not going to lower their gaze. The weak ones are going to say, let me go in there and see what the real naked woman looks like. Because they're advertising, you can go in there and you can see that, at least the ones that are almost naked. So I'm just saying, that wasn't in the United States. That was in a country in the Muslim world. And they are putting those places up all over the Muslim world. Went to another country in the Muslim world, went in the beautiful hotel that the U.S. corporation set up over there, went in the refrigerator looking for some water because it was hot that day and the air conditioning was working, but I was thirsty and wanted some cool water. There were 2 bottles of water in there and about 30 bottles of alcohol. This is a Muslim country. They're inviting the people to come in that hotel, whether they're Muslim, Christian, Jews, doesn't make any difference, to drink alcohol. So what I'm saying is, we have to be careful. So Allah is our protection. Allah and His Rasul are our protection. Dear Muslims, we pray that Allah would save us from hardship. We pray that Allah would save us from difficulty. We pray that Allah would save us from misery, and especially from bad spirits. And dear Muslims, let us remember our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teaching us that the believers are as soft as milk in their dealings with believers. We're not supposed to be harsh and ugly and hostile towards believers. We should embrace the believer when we see a believer. We should smile when we see a believer. We should hug the believer. We should let the believer know we love the believer because we're the only ones we have. When it comes down to it, we're the only ones we can trust. When it comes down to it, we're the only ones that we can put our life on or give our life care to. The Messenger of Allah trusted solely in Allah. And then because there were believers that trusted in a messenger, he trusted in them because they trusted in Allah. So let us come together and be a loving, close family. And this will be another one of our protections. Let us pray.